From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In the course of these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns is explaining Paul's teaching about justification by faith. The text for this message is in chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. In the earlier verses of the chapter, the apostle used the example of Abraham to demonstrate that sinners are not saved by their works, but by faith in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. As Genesis 15, verse 6 says, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he, that is God, counted it to him for righteousness. In the present text, Paul cites the example of David, as found in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, to further emphasize the blessedness of the man who is justified by faith apart from works. Once again, the focus is on the righteousness of Christ, which God imputes to the sinner who repents and trusts in the Savior. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce a message called The Beauty, Basis, and Blessings of Free Justification. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. Today's text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Doubting one, thou hast often said, I fear I shall never enter heaven. Fear not, all the people of God shall enter there. I love the quaint saying of a dying man who exclaimed, I have no fear of going home. I have sent all before me. God's finger is on the latch of my door, and I am ready for him to enter. But, said one, are you not afraid lest you should miss your inheritance? Nay, said he, nay, there is one crown in heaven which the angel Gabriel could not wear. It will fit no head but mine. There is one throne in heaven which Paul the Apostle could not fill. It was made for me, and I shall have it. O Christian, what a joyous thought! Thy portion is secure. There remaineth a rest. But cannot I forfeit it? No, it is entailed. If I be a child of God, I shall not lose it. It is mine as securely as if I were there. Come with me, believer, and let us sit upon the top of Nebo, and view the goodly land, even Canaan. Seest thou that little river of death glistening in the sunlight, and across it dost thou see the pinnacles of the eternal city? Dost thou mark the pleasant country and all its joyous inhabitants? Know, then, that if thou couldst fly across, thou wouldst see written upon one of its many mansions, This remaineth for such a one, preserved for him only. He shall be caught up to dwell for ever with God. Poor doubting one, see the fair inheritance. It is thine. If thou believest in the Lord Jesus, if thou hast repented of sin, if thou hast been renewed in heart, thou art one of the Lord's people, and there is a place reserved for thee, a crown laid up for thee, a harp specially provided for thee. No one else shall have thy portion. It is reserved in heaven for thee, and thou shalt have it ere long. For there shall be no vacant thrones in glory when all the chosen are gathered in.
Jesus, be Lord.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts continues to be most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. Remember that any literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Turning this evening to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We'll be considering verses 6 through 8, but we will read the first 8 verses of the chapter together. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his precious and inspired word for his name's sake. Verses 6, 7, and 8. And anybody who knows the rate of progress I've been making through Romans will understand that that is easier to say than to do. But by the grace of God, we will do it. Either in 1 week or in 1 month. But we will try to do it. Get through these three great verses. David also describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And that is a direct quotation from Psalm 32 and the opening two verses. In all spiritual and religious controversy, it would be a good thing to settle matters by the plain statements and teachings of the Scriptures of truth. Not by human feelings, not by human opinions, but by divine revelation and by divine authority. Now, having said that, I must say I am very tempted, and I have been for some weeks, and I have resisted until now, so I'd better be careful. But I'd be very tempted to get away from Romans 4 for a few minutes and expatiate a little on that which is consuming, and not in a good way, consuming so much of the interest, so much of the debating that's going on among Christians in these days. And that's, of course, the Hollywood movie on the last 12 hours of Christ's life. It's a wonderful thing when a Hollywood production is better known to most evangelicals than the Bible itself. Wonderful in the sense of causing amazement, not wonderful in the sense of being praiseworthy. I don't want to get into the whole issue tonight, except to say this. One thing that has really struck me, and that has grieved me far more than Mel Gibson's film, far, far more than Mel Gibson's film, with all its Romishness, with all its ecumenical undertones and overtones, some things have grieved me more, and that has been the response in the evangelical and in even some parts of the Reformed community. And certainly in many parts of the fundamentalist community. I've been amazed at how little people really know of what the gospel is. And I suppose in many ways that's the most distressing thing of all. But, and I don't want to say I told you so, we are now finding where the compromise of fundamentalists and the Reformed with popery for many, many years has led us. When Reggie Kimbrough, our brother minister up in North Carolina, was invited by a Christian radio station to appear for a call-in program fielding calls in this, he was the only one, of course, they could get who would take a stand against the thing. And when he went on there, he took flack from the presenter, who is a student, or was a student along with him, who is running a Christian operation. But he took flack from him and from many listeners, not because he was against it merely, although that's a great sin, but because he dared to invoke the plain statements of the second commandment. And I have heard preachers say, we cannot really invoke the second commandment. And this is something that was said to Reggie as he was on the radio that day. Because after all, we fundamentalists and we evangelicals, we have our pictures of Jesus. We have Bibles with pictures of Jesus. We have our plays which present Jesus. We have had our own evangelical films with Jesus in them. And if we have been able to do it, we can't make that an argument against Mel Gibson doing it. And they're dead right they can't make an argument against Mel Gibson doing it. When you sink into idolatry yourself, you can't blame anybody else for being an idolater. And it is idolatry. Let me put it to you very simply. We're not talking about images merely. We're not talking about pictures in general. You know, as many representations of Moses leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea as you want. There's a general rule of thumb, what has been seen and may be seen with the human eye, and therefore is interpretable by the human intellect and heart, may be a legitimate representation in art. That's a general rule, and it's a mosaic rule. It's not one I'm making up. But there is a deeper rule. And let us not get away from it. You are prohibited. It's not a word of advice. It's not a word of opinion. You are prohibited divinely from making any representation of God, of deity. Now, it is the central truth of Christianity. This is the central truth. This is the first truth in the apostolic statement of fundamental Bible doctrine. Apart from which there is no doctrine of the atonement, there is no doctrine of resurrection, there is no doctrine of salvation, there is nothing apart from this. Jesus Christ is God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, great is the mystery of godliness. What is the first item on the list of fundamental doctrine? God was manifested in the flesh. Now, I freely admit that human eyes could see the man Christ Jesus. But I submit to you that human eyes never saw him as he really was and never interpreted him as he really was, for he's God manifested in the flesh. When any painter takes his brush, he is blaspheming. He's blaspheming. When any artist or any actor presumes to say, this is how the holy, sinless, spotless Son of God felt. This is how he expressed his feelings with looks. This is how he expressed his feelings in any way that may be represented by human art. He's a liar and he's a blasphemer. And I say that very reverently because no man, we are sinners one and all. Mel Gibson, not more than I or you or anybody else. We are sinners one and all. And it's impossible for a sinless or a sinful man even to begin to conceive, never mind represent by facial expressions, by actions, by whatever art can portray, it is impossible faithfully to represent the sinless feelings of Christ, but beyond that, to represent God in the flesh. God in the flesh. I've been told, and of course popery has been saying this for centuries, we don't bow down to that celluloid picture or whatever it is, a DVD or whatever. We don't bow down to the actor portraying Christ. Everything I've read in favor of this film says what a wonderful experience it is. Paul Harvey said, you don't view it, you experience it. In other words, it is something being used to promote worship. That makes it idolatry. Now, if that's too harsh, don't blame me. Blame the God who said it, not me. I've been told about, we as Protestants, we don't worship those pictures of Jesus. Well, neither do the Greek Orthodox, neither do the Roman Catholics. They tell us they don't worship the pictures either. They are merely stimulants to their mind. They are things to stir their heart. I put it to you that if you as a Christian can look at any representation of the Lord Jesus Christ without a feeling of worship for Christ, either you recognize the things of blasphemy or there's something wrong with your heart. A Christian cannot conceive of looking on Christ or anything that leads him to consider Christ apart from worship. And the Bible's plain. And again I say to you, and I don't blame Mel Gibson above the Bible producers who have desecrated the holy page of God's Word with their blasphemous little pictures, or above the Protestant, Reformed, Evangelical, fundamental churches that offend the sensibilities of any Bible-believing Christian with their portrayals of Jesus Christ. I don't blame him more than they, but I say it is a sad day when we have taken right out of our hands the very Word of God, and we're told you can't use the second commandment because you yourselves have been breaking it for years. And I say, God help us. But, all that to say, I don't care how many millions of dollars Mel Gibson has made in his picture. I don't care how violent or otherwise it is. You couldn't portray crucifixion honestly without making it horrendously violent. What offends me about it, but no more it than other things, is when people think they know better than God Almighty, and he says, you will not make any representation of your God if he's the object of your worship. He must not be represented to your sight.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.